Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you again here at Faith Chapel in London. Thank you, Brad, for that opening. If you could turn, please, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And as you're turning there, just explain to you my plans this morning with you. Give a little bit of devotional, which will lead into a presentation on FBH International. And really do thank you for this opportunity to present. So Luke chapter 8, and beginning at... Actually, if you could turn the lights back on, Brad, I'm having trouble reading. I have to say you're doing very well IT-wise. I think Desmond is your new IT guy here at Faith Bible Chapel. Things are going very smoothly so far, so you're doing well. You just need a new lights guy, or a nice spotlight right here. So Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "Who has ears to hear? Let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now this parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fall upon thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. I'm sorry I'm not on task here. I should be moving forward with my slides. Okay, Brad, I think we're good now. Thank you very much. So Jesus tells this parable of a sower who is scattering seed, and his seeds fall on four different ground types. We have the wayward path, where the seed is then trampled on and eaten by birds. There is the rocky ground, where the seed grows but withers for lack of moisture. And then there is the thorny ground, where it grows but is choked out by competing growth. But then we have, finally, the good soil. This is soil that is plowed, and it is prepared, and it grows and it yields 100-fold harvest. And he calls out to them, and he says, "Who has ears to hear? Let him hear." And then his disciples, immediately following that, they ask for meaning. And Jesus explains that the seed is the word of God, and the soils represents the different hearts of men, of those who hear it. We have those who have hard hearts. When they hear the word of God, they just absolutely reject it. Then there are those who have shallow hearts. They receive it, but they fall away. Then there are those who have worldly hearts, and the cares and the pleasures of the world choke out the word of God. And then there are those whose hearts are ready. They are absolutely ready to receive it, to keep it, to bear fruit with patience. And in this parable, Jesus presents to us a very surprising image, as in most of Jesus' parables. There's always a bit of a surprise twist. We have this farmer who is scattering seed very broadly, haphazardly, may I say. Some seed falls upon ground that is quite clearly unfit for growth. To a farmer, this would be seen as very wasteful. and very careless. So why? Because a good farmer knows the immense value that is held in every single seed that he sows. Normally, a farmer would sow very carefully, ensuring that every seed falls on good soil to maximize the harvest. So Jesus explained this parable to his disciples, that the seed is the word of God, and that the soils represent the varied conditions of the human heart. But the question is, who is the farmer? Who is the farmer in this parable? Well, Jesus doesn't say, but I think that we would naturally understand that the farmer here represents the evangelist, the one who is sharing God's word. And the evangelist must, like this farmer, he must sow the seed. He must sow God's word very broadly. And not because he is careless, but because the evangelist is blind. The evangelist is blind. He cannot see the conditions of the hearts before him, whether he is speaking to an individual or to a crowd. Any evangelist, you know, is not infinite, very finite, not omniscient. We cannot peer into the hearts of men. Only the Lord can do that. So though the seed is very precious, it must be scattered widely in regards to evangelism. And why? Because the evangelist cannot know how or when that seed will take root in the heart. And the fact is that only the Holy Spirit can reveal, and only the Holy Spirit can regenerate. And not only must God's word be scattered broadly, but it must be scattered generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 reminds us that a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You see, a single head of wheat can typically have 20 to 30 grains. A single wheat plant usually produces 2 to 5 heads. Therefore, the average increase from one seed to the grains produced by a single wheat plant is approximately 8,650% yield. That's huge. And undeniably, looking at it this way, each seed holds immense value to the farmer. Sowing broadly in evangelism is very important, but may it never be done carelessly, but may it be done with purpose and with faith and with patience, trusting in the leading of the Holy Spirit. So what makes a good farmer? One who sows with purpose, faith, and patience. What makes a good evangelist? One who sows with purpose, faith, and patience. And when we share God's word, the question is this: when we do share it, are we more results-focused, or are we more faith-focused? And I think that's a really important question that we need to keep in mind, to keep ourselves in check when we are sharing God's word. Are we sharing it with a right heart? Because if we're not sharing it with a right heart, we will easily lose heart. So just to look at what we've considered so far, we sow the seed. We do not know the soil. We have to remember that our evangelism is blind. We cannot see the hearts of those to whom we share it. But we must sow it, therefore, broadly and generously, trusting in God, who is the one who will bring the growth. It is nothing of ourselves. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, one sows, another waters, but God gives the increase. And this verse speaks about two things. It speaks about our partnership in evangelism work, having our part in it, and that is very important. But also to remember that when we do share it, our dependence is entirely upon the Lord. If you could turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 55. And as I read this portion of Scripture, I would ask that we would keep in mind our shared commission as believers, as we sow the word of God faithfully, trusting alone that it is nothing of ourselves, that it is God who brings the growth. So Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." This is very important. Verse 12, "For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace." This is speaking of the evangelistic attitude that we should have based upon our dependence on the Lord. And then it says, "And the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you." This is speaking about the creation, that nature itself will rejoice in the proclamation of the word of God as it too waits upon its redemption. And then it says this, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that is just such a wonderful way to convey how we should see evangelism and how we can be a part of that and how our feet can be seen by the Lord as such a beautiful thing as we share it. It reminds us that we're not responsible for the results, that we're only responsible for just faithfully sowing God's word. We share the word to share the word with compassion, trusting that the Lord will work in each heart to whom we share it with. And we must remember that no seed that is sown in faith is wasted. We sow with hope, knowing that his word will prosper for his purposes. And let's be honest with ourselves that sharing the word of God today can be very discouraging, isn't it? Can be a very discouraging thing. As we live in a society that's just so driven by instant gratification. It longs for quick results in everything that it does. We have the society of fast food and just fast internet and all of these things. And unfortunately, we as believers, we can fall into this trap that the world is in also, where we go and we do something and we can fall into this desire in our hearts of instant gratification. And I think sometimes when it comes to evangelism, unfortunately, we fall into that. We want to see results. But in our society today, let's be honest, that often results are very few and far between. But we mustn't be discouraged in that. We must keep pressing forward in sharing the word of God and doing so faithfully. Evangelism isn't about immediate results. It is not about immediate results. It's about faithfully sowing, trusting God for the harvest in his timing. Jesus said in John chapter 4, "Lift up your eyes, the fields are white and ready for harvest." Is that how we see evangelism in our society today? Do we really see the fields out there as white and ready to harvest? And often in our discouragement, let's face it, we really don't see it that way, but we have to keep that perspective. Even in this post-pandemic world, which is so marked by a rise in atheism, and there just seems to be this spiritual numbness out there. But may we not be discouraged in that. You know, the way things are now could be opening up new doors for us. As we see this contrast in the world today, you know, as we present God's love to a world that is just so broken and growing in darkness and hard-heartedness, you know, that is when the Lord really works. That is when the Lord really works. When they can see that contrast of God's love to the lives and to the things that they have taken on, the philosophies and things of this world. It can be a very, very stark contrast. And, you know, let us not be discouraged in how the world is progressing further on into darkness. It may just open up more doors for us. We are co-laborers. We are sowers and reapers. And we are to be rejoicing together. And it's hard work. Evangelism is very hard work. And seeing results might take a long time. And we might not see any results at all. But we must not give up. Just a couple of encouraging scriptures to think about. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Let us not grow weary. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And James chapter 5 talks about farmers waiting for the rain and how the farmer must be patient and expectant. I was in sales for a number of years selling packaging and sanitation supplies to businesses, knocking on many doors in the Hamilton area, making many, many cold calls. And I really learned a lot during that time with that career. But I found that there were some really, it was really interesting how there were many sales principles that paralleled with sales. And there were three things: perseverance, meeting a need, and building relationships. That was very, very important in sales. Perseverance. You need to keep knocking. As a salesman, you need to keep knocking on those doors. Even when there are those times where those doors may seem absolutely closed, you have to ignore that, and you just have to keep knocking. Meet a need. Meet a need. People may not want to hear most people do not want to hear the gospel. But we have to remember that they are in desperate need of hearing it. They need to hear that. Steve Jobs, when he introduced the iPad in 2010, he said this: "People want this, they just don't know it yet." People want this, they just don't know it yet. And imagine if we had that attitude in regards to our evangelism, how it would change things. They don't want it, but they need it. People need the gospel. They just don't know it yet. And it's about building relationships, to be known in your community as a refuge and as a voice of love and truth. You know, just as companies stay visible using their brand to reach customers at that right moment to meet a need, so we must keep the gospel near, keep preaching the gospel, keep sharing it in our community. When they come to that point of, say, brokenness or absolute discouragement, that the gospel is there so they may be ready to embrace it during those very difficult times in their life. Sorry, I'm talking too much. So we looked at these three things: what marks a successful salesman and how we should apply that to our evangelism, these three things that would mark a successful or a faithful evangelist: perseverance, meeting a need, and building relationships. And in all of these things, we must be purposeful, faithful, and patient. You know, these are just some thoughts I wanted to share with you this morning in regards to evangelism. And you know, I need these reminders for myself continually. When it comes to ministry, it can get at times very discouraging. It can be a very up and down kind of thing. This coming February, I will have been with FBH for 4 years. And I have to confess that there are some days where I just wonder, is there anything that I am really doing that's making a difference? But you know, you have to hang on to those days where you really see that that the Lord is at work. And it's so easily, we can so easily get discouraged. And, you know, often we step out with very sincere intentions, but when we see no results, that's when we retreat, right? And that is often the pattern that we see when it comes to when we do evangelism. We try it, it didn't work, and we give up. Well, we can't continue on like that. We have to keep being purposeful and faithful and patient when it comes to our evangelism. And FBH, it's a ministry that has much to be thankful for. The Lord continues to bless us. The Lord is using us, And we want to use local churches to partner with us in this ministry. Since 1951, FBH International Family Bible Hour has been sharing the gospel with people around the word, around the world, and the team continues to work hard to find new and innovative ways to use digital media as a tool to sow the truth of God's love. And our mission statement, which is just fresh off the block a couple of years ago, is this: that FBH impacts people globally by using communication technology and innovation to present biblical truth, encouraging them into a transformative relationship with Jesus Christ. Just a little bit of history on who we are and a bit about our English language ministry and its history. Some of you are very familiar with this, and I know some of you are probably not familiar with it at all. But Don Moffat and Arnett McEntee were the men who spearheaded the ministry. It started with Don Moffat back in 1951, and he created a half-hour radio broadcast called the Newfoundland Gospel Hour, which was broadcast out of St. John's. And a year after starting this ministry, something came up in his life, and he ended up having to move to St. Catharines, Ontario. And from out of there, he continued the program, but he renamed it Family Bible Hour. And then Arnett McEntee, he joined the ministry in 1954 and later became the program host of the half-hour radio broadcast, preparing programs actually out of his basement. It started out that way. Eventually, it went international and was translated into several languages. In 2007, the English language radio broadcast was suspended, and it shifted to an online distribution format, and this enabled programs to have a worldwide access. So Arnett served with FBH for 40 years, and then he was succeeded by Ron Hughes, who served for 26 years, and Stephen March, who some of you are familiar with, is the current president. And there's the three of us working out of the head office in St. Catharines. Alicia Hoffman joined us this past spring as Deborah Piggott retired after serving with FBH for about 21 years. And so we appreciate the work that Deborah gave to the ministry through the years, but we are appreciating Alicia also for the work that she is that she's putting into the ministry. Hope Stream Radio is a large part of our English language ministry. Managing that website is much of my day. It began in 2015 with on-demand programs and with a 24-hour live stream. But by 2019, it went strictly on demand. The live stream was cut off. But every month, new audio material and blog content is being uploaded to HopeStream. So we have the various categories there that you can find when you go to the site. There's Bible studies, there's special interest, life application, devotional, gospel messages, and Emmaus Bible courses, which will be the next slide that I will explain. But our hope is that HopeStream can be used as a resource for teaching and encouraging and just helping believers and also presenting the gospel to those who are not saved, just helping people with their personal growth. And HopeStream is being viewed by people across the world. India is one of our largest users of the site. But as I mentioned before, we have a partnership now with Emmaus Worldwide, and we're very excited about this partnership. We are producing audio editions of their correspondence courses. So this is something entirely new, and we're really excited about it. So 6 courses are now complete and ready for you to listen and grow. We have ministry partners around the world. We have partners in Russia and Ukraine. Both do radio and online broadcasting, and also do much ministry through social media. And then on top of that, FBH Ukraine is also counseling widows and children who have lost loved ones during the war. And despite many restrictions in Russia, they continue to successfully work under the radar. And we are just so thankful for the work of FBH that continues in these war-torn and depressed countries. Then we have Arab World Media. They use strictly digital technology to reach out to about 380 million people across 22 Arab countries. And we support three online responders who are stationed in Egypt, and they serve as the primary contact for anyone who reach out to the ministry for the first time. These three responders, often their days are... They can be very happy days, but they can be very stressful days, as they do have people that reach out to them online who are very hostile. So we really try to keep these three responders in our prayers. The fruit of this ministry this past year was 648 professions of faith. So each year there are many baptisms, online studies, and just a growth in a number of home churches. Also, so Arab World Media is making a huge impact in the Middle East. Just thought I'd introduce to you our board of directors, some of these people you are very familiar with. We have Ann McKay, who is from Markham Bible Chapel, Dennis Purcell from Bethel Chapel in Waterloo, Dwight Houston, who is out in Charlottetown, PEI, he fellowships at Charlottetown Bible Chapel, Jay Payson from Bethany Chapel in Hamilton, Stan Paul from West Fifth Chapel in Hamilton, and Tom Bell from Northside Bible Chapel in Barrie. So we are in a time of transition as a ministry. We're focusing more on being an assembly-based ministry that serves as a resource to support local churches and ministries and their evangelistic efforts and growth. And our motto through the years has been presenting the gospel, making disciples, but we have now added to that motto, strengthening churches. So our English language ministry has expanded its mission by spreading the gospel through YouTube advertisements. We want to work with assemblies to help them, to help give them a boost of revitalization towards evangelism. Let's face it, many assemblies are struggling right now, and we want to be there to help them with their evangelism, especially when resources and numbers are limited. In 2022, we began this idea of using this means to spread the gospel. So the question is, why? Why did you decide to take this route? Well, it would enable us to get the name of Jesus in front of thousands of people, for one thing. When we looked into it, we were very surprised to find out that it was very low cost. It was not as restrictive in regards to gospel content as we expected. And we thought, you know what, we have nothing to lose, so let's give it a try. So we started, and we have shared gospel content with over 1 million people across Canada and parts of the United States. And the following promotional video, this is also online on YouTube and on our website, this explains this new direction that we have taken as a ministry.
Are you ready to discover a fresh and impactful approach to local church evangelism that truly connects in today's world? In a time when people are becoming increasingly resistant to traditional door-to-door methods, spreading the gospel can seem more challenging than ever. But how can we break through these barriers and effectively share God's word with those who need to hear it? With the rise of the internet and social media usage, personal interactions have moved online. This means it's crucial for churches to meet people where they already are. At FBH International, we understand the hearts of faithful believers who are eager to spread God's love but face increasing obstacles. That's where we come in. We provide local churches and ministries with a powerful solution, YouTube media advertising. Together, we can design a targeted campaign reaching your community with compelling, personalized videos created just for your church. Did you know that 83% of North American adults use YouTube? That's a huge audience. YouTube offers a fantastic opportunity to connect with thousands of individuals in your local area. Whether you want to share the gospel or promote outreach events, YouTube makes it affordable and engaging. Let FBH partner with you to take your church's evangelistic efforts to the next level. How does it work? Let's break it down. First, set your goals. What do you want to achieve with your campaign? Whether it's sharing a gospel message, increasing your church's visibility, or promoting an event, Knowing your objectives will help us create a strategy that fits your vision perfectly. Second, reach out to us at FBH International. Discuss your needs with us. Once we understand your goals, we'll work with you to craft a tailored evangelistic campaign for your region. 3. Choose your video options. We offer various video lengths, including 15-second unskippable, 30-second, and 1-minute skippable. We offer a selection of pre-made gospel videos that present various themes of gospel-oriented content. These videos can be customized to include your church's contact information. We would be happy to review our portfolio of options with you. For customized videos, FBH will design and produce them based on the details you provide, ensuring that the final product conveys your message effectively. Be it promoting service times or special events, our goal is to create content that catches people's attention and open doors to connect with those around you and share the gospel. Consider a landing page where you would like your viewers directed when they click or scan your ad. Perhaps a gospel video, blog, or your church website. Additionally, we've produced a specialized video for free Bible distribution campaigns. This video can be personalized with your church as the point of contact, allowing you to personally deliver a Bible to those who respond. It's a powerful tool for outreach. 4. Identify your target areas. Think about where you want to center your efforts. Campaigns can be targeted within a 4-kilometer radius of your church, focus on specific mailing code areas, or cover an entire city. We'll help ensure the campaign reaches the right audience. We encourage the distribution of flyers and tracts in the areas you focus on, so the videos can complement your efforts. Our aim is to support traditional evangelism and not replace it with this medium. Lastly, how much does it cost? FBH International operates on a donation basis. The cost depends on your campaign's scope and reach. We'll help you understand how your donation impacts the campaign's effectiveness. Here is Stephen March, President of FBH International.
Hello. In Isaiah 55:11, God says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." It was with this promise of God in mind that the YouTube Gospel Video Project was started. The primary goal is simply to get the Word of God to as many people as possible. As already mentioned in this video, sharing the gospel through traditional methods in our modern culture can be challenging. People today are less interested and sometimes even opposed to unsolicited personal conversation. That is often amplified when the topic of conversation is spiritual or religious in nature. As such, the people we want to witness to will raise their defenses when the discussion begins. One of the advantages of the YouTube advertising approach is that it allows us to reach.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not.
So where I wanted to proceed from here was just showing you some examples of videos that we have made to give you just a better understanding of how it works. With each video that I'll provide, providing you here, as you can see, Google Analytics on the campaigns that we have run through YouTube. So. As we move forward, just want to review how this kind of all works, provide you an overview of some of the examples of some of the costs, highlight the capabilities of each ad, and just assess their effectiveness. You'll see here on these results here, you'll see, just to define some of these stats for you, we have total impressions. This is the number of times that the ad pops up on YouTube before somebody watches their video or in the midst of a video that they are watching. Total views, this is the number of people who watch the ad without skipping it. They watch the full video. And then there is the view rate. This is the percentage of people who watch the full video compared to the number of times that it was shown. So just to give you an idea looking at the view rate, the average view rate on YouTube advertising for skippable ads is 31.9%. That's the average for YouTube advertising. And you'll see on many of our videos that we're in the high 50s to low 60% area. So we do very, very well. People are interested in these ads. Click-throughs, that's the number of people who clicked on or scanned the QR code on the ad, those who were driven by curiosity to explore further. This action then directs them either to a landing page, to a gospel blog. It can be, for those who participate, to their assembly website or to a gospel video, moving them away from YouTube to view something that's more purpose-driven with gospel content. So we have to remember with all of this that it's not necessarily about measured responses. It's not, advertising doesn't work that way, and unfortunately this is the way it doesn't work this way also. It's about, a lot of it is just about getting your name out there and wanting to start opening doors in your community. So this video is entitled Love Is. This was ran in through Canada, through about 18 cities across the country, many cities where FBH supporting assemblies were, and we ran them through 17 locations in the United States. This was ran around Valentine's Day. The average cost for this ad, and it is pay-per-view, so you're only charged with those who watch the ad right to the end, and it was about 1 cent was the average cost for this ad. So that's about $6.86 for 1,000 impressions. That's pretty inexpensive to get the gospel out in front of people.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. This beautiful description of love is not only the way we should love one another, but also a depiction of God's love for you and the whole world. God has shown his love for us, even though we offend him. Jesus Christ died for everyone. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Learn more about how Jesus' love for the world applies to you by clicking here.
So just to clarify, to make it clear to you, that's 113,343 people watch this video fully on YouTube. So that's pretty impressive numbers. We did put a bit of money into this, over $1,000, but over 35 days. But still, it's just amazing how this is a medium that we can get in front of that many people. This one is entitled Something Missing. So as you'll see, the real idea is that these ads function as gospel previews. They're intentionally designed to engage viewers' hearts and to prompt them to have further exploration for God's truth and love. Hopefully, the desire would be on their heart to either scan that QR code or click on the ad, leading them to, in this case, a gospel blog on Hope Stream Radio. And this was run through major Ontario cities through September through to October.
Here I am, just another day passing by, wondering about the meaning of it all. Deep inside, there's an emptiness I can't seem to fill. Could there be something more? Could there be a God who cares?
Is this how you're feeling? The Bible says God desires us to seek him and reach out for him. He's not far from anyone. He promises that when we search for him with all our heart, we will find him. A new life in Jesus Christ is available to you today. To discover the answer to your questions and learn more, click or scan here.
Actually, this was also run out east, and it was very successful out east. 124 clicks to the website. Now, we can't measure how many people scanned the QR code. You need a special QR code to be able to measure that, but we have to assume that there were quite a few that scanned that. But that's 307,859 people that watched that video right to the end. And then this one is, what are you thankful for? And this was run across Canada 2 weeks prior to Thanksgiving, and we'll be running this 2 weeks prior to Thanksgiving in the States also.
What are the things in your life you're most thankful for? I'm thankful for my family, who I love.
The food that gives me daily strength.
A home where I can find rest.
For friends who bring me joy and laughter.
The moments that turn into lasting memories.
How often do we pause to truly see the blessings woven into our daily lives? Gratitude changes everything. It shifts our perspective and reminds us that every good gift has a source, God. And there is one gift He offers that surpasses all others, and He longs to give it to everyone. Salvation, from sin, from eternal death, from all that separates us from Him. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Give Him thanks, for He is good, and His love endures forever. Scan to discover something you can truly thank God for.
That's just some samples of our gospel ads. And if you do want to see any of these videos and more, we do have more, please pick up one of these pamphlets. They have QR codes, take you directly to the page that they're on. And also, just so I don't forget, there's also calendars there that you can grab and take home. There's not too many, but there's some there. Just wanted to move on. Our time is moving along very quickly here. In regards to customized event ads, we ran a couple of years ago one for North Street Gospel Hall for their annual carol service. This is just a very simple example of what an ad that we make at FBH International.
You are invited to our annual community carol service at North Street Gospel Hall on December 8th at 6:30 p.m. Come celebrate the season with us as we sing some of our favorite Christmas carols, enjoy some delicious baked treats, and hear an uplifting Christmas gospel message. There is no charge for this event and everyone is welcome. Please plan on attending. We would love to meet you and celebrate Christmas together.
Next one is a more involved video, but it was a lot of fun to make, and this was for Sudbury Bible Fellowship. They raved about the turnout of this. They said, of any event we have ever had at the chapel, this was the biggest turnout that they had ever had.
You're invited to the Summer Carnival at Sudbury Bible Fellowship. It's happening Saturday, August 9th, from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., and it's completely free. Here's what you can look forward to. Carnival games for all ages. A bouncy castle for the kids. A delicious free barbecue lunch. Ice cream. Awesome prizes. Entertaining puppet shows. And so much more. Find us at 1661 Lansing Avenue in Sudbury. Bring your family and friends. We look forward to seeing you there.
So this next slide is, this next one is a free Bible offer video that we made up. This is a 30-second long video. It's been very successful in a lot of ways. We have had a number of chapels partner with us in this campaign. Scott Lee Gospel Chapel ran it for 4 months, and during the duration of that time, we're able to give out 8 Bibles to people in the community. Brockview Bible Chapel started running it in July, and we're going to be running it till the end of the year. And up to this point, we've given away 9 Bibles to people. We've been able to make contact with these people and try to keep in contact with them. So we see this as a very valuable campaign that assemblies can join in with. And
Have you read the world's number one best-selling book of all time? With over 5 billion copies distributed and translations in more than 700 languages, its powerful words have shaped societies, cultures, literature, and art worldwide. It's the Bible, the most widely shared book in history, yet many still struggle to understand its meaning. Click or scan here to get your free copy and discover God's extraordinary message for you and the world.
So a lot of the question usually is, I'm just going to try to sum up here very quickly. Big question is, how much does it cost? I know I've tried to explain that, but people try to, it's kind of a bit of a hard concept for people to understand. If you were to do an unskippable ad, a 15-second ad, the average cost for that is about $15 per 1,000 people. $15 to reach 1,000 people. You can't buy 1,000 tracks for $15 to reach 1,000 people. The unfortunate thing about the 15-second unskippable ads is there's no analytics. It's just thrown out there, and you know that people see it. Well, skippable ads, anything that's longer than 15 seconds, as I mentioned before, the average cost is about 1 cent per view. And usually what we say to assemblies is the easiest way to go about it is, how much do you want to put down for a day? How much would you like to put towards it for a day? And we find that $10 a day is a good amount, and with about $10, you're reaching about 1,000 people per day. So very very inexpensive. When the campaign is complete, we will confirm the cost that we receive from YouTube, and then we just wish that that people would support through a free will donation, and for that we are very thankful. So as you can see, this is broad seed sowing, very broad. It's as broad, really, as you want it to be. Much has changed in this world, and much is going to change in this world, inevitably. But we have to remember that the sword of God's word has not lost its sharp edge. It's still very sharp, and the Holy Spirit has not diminished in power. We have to remember these things and be encouraged in these things, that the world is not greater than the transformative power of the gospel. If you do have any questions afterwards, I'd be more than happy to try to answer them for you, but just really a sincere thank you for this opportunity to share with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do confess that during these times it is... can be very discouraging. Sharing the word of God, so many people in our world today are so comfortable and so consumed with their own lives and consumed with things that distract them from the truth of the word of God. So pray, Lord, that even though realizing this reality, help us as believers to not give up. Help us put it in our hearts, Lord, to continue faithfully with this great commission that you have given upon each one of us to do. So we pray, Lord, that we may be encouraged with the fact that there is this type of medium, there is this outlet in which we can share the gospel and put it in front of so many people for such little cost. And pray, Lord, that that this would be something that people would see value in, and that they would and take it up as a part of their evangelistic ministry as an assembly or even as individuals. So we ask, Lord, for your blessing on our time together, and just pray, Lord, that truly we would be encouraged in the word that we heard earlier, that you are at work, you are a powerful God, and you want to change people's lives, and we can be a part of that. How beautiful are our feet when we have that desire and we go out and actively share the gospel to a world that is so broken and hurting. So ask for your blessing on this time that we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen.